This time the children are dismissed. If they would like to go to children's church, they are welcome to do so. Did I tell you I'm going to Russia? I'm really excited. Past several weeks, different people said, are you excited about going to Russia? And I'm like, eh. But as time approaches, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to go. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. I want to talk to you today a little bit about that. I want to talk to you more explicitly. There's a statement that Paul says to Timothy that is kind of a neat statement. He says, I want men everywhere to pray and play their guitars. By the way, thanks, Drew. Thanks, Elaine. Thanks, Laurel and Andy and Kurt as well for their ministries this morning. Wasn't that great music this morning? Can we do that? Yeah. Really love hearing it. And I love the spirit Drew has. You know, I was in here yesterday. I'm doing 101 things. And you know me, man. I'm kind of single-tracked. And I'll walk right by a person and not even say hi to them. If I ever do that to you, don't take it personal. I do that to everybody, okay? But I said hi to everyone. I might have waved at you, Drew. I don't even know. And so after practice, he was gone, and I called him and I said, hey, just didn't get to say hi to you. How you doing? Thanks for what you're doing. And I love what he said. He said this. He said, hey, Pastor Steve, I want to thank you for allowing me to serve your congregation this way. Wow. Wow. We thank him for doing it. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And Elaine as well. Thank you, Elaine, for the gifts that you bring. We were talking about you. Drew and I were talking about you on the phone a little bit, and I said, you know, when Elaine gets really comfortable, she does this kind of harmony thing that just is fantastic. And we love that. We love... And Kurt, we're glad you were at the drums instead of Andy this morning. It's kind of an inside joke, I guess, for the worship team. And Andy, you just looked like you were enjoying the music. Thanks for all that all of you do. We're very appreciative of that. So anyway, let me start over again. There's a story that the Apostle Paul talks about. Well, no, there's this passage the Apostle Paul gives where he's talking to a young pastor. And he says this statement. He says, I want men everywhere to pray and lift up holy hands. And you know, that we've talked about what lifting up hands means. It means different things. One of the things it means, God, I have nothing. Everything I need has to come from you. And another thing that it means is God, here I am. I'm offering myself up to you. Or it could mean this. It could mean, God, here, you are exalted. I'm lifting your name up, so to speak. When I think of Paul saying that in that context, when he says, I want men everywhere to pray and lift up holy hands, it moves me back to Exodus 17. That's where my mind goes. Because there's a story in Exodus 17, and many of the stories of Israel in the Old Testament, when they're going to war or whatever, those serve almost as real-life analogies for us in our spiritual walk with God. And there's a story told that they're going there, they're met by the Amalekites. And the Amalekites want to put a whoopum on Israel, right? And so they say, go take some men and go fight these guys, Moses said. And here's what I'll do, Moses says. I'm going to stand on this hill, on this mountain overlooking the situation. I'm going to take the staff of God with me, which is representative of the power of God. And he says, I'm going to lift up my hands. And he's praying. He's lifting up his hands, praying that his army will be successful. And he does this, and it's a little bit longer time than he anticipated, you know? And so what they do, they get a big stone, and they move it up, and they put it right behind Moses, so that when he's standing there, you know, he can kind of do this number. And then Aaron and Hur get on each side of him, and they hold up his arms. And I love that, because it's picturesque of what I want to talk to you about today. First, I understand that unless Moses is lifting up holy hands praying for that army, they'll get defeated. Because here's what happens when he gets tired and he puts them down, they start losing. He puts his hands back up and they're winning. And you know, if I was Moses, I'd be tempted to do this number, you know. But he doesn't do that, okay. But every time he has his hands up praying, they're winning. And when he doesn't pray, they're not winning. And he can't do it alone. Just like they can't fight alone there without Moses interceding for them. Moses can't intercede alone. It takes a greater body to carry out the will of God. And I want to talk to you today about how to pray for international workers. I want to solicit your prayer support as I go to Russia. I had a girlfriend in high school, and she was a Christian. And she said to me, one time we were talking about prayer. She was the kind of girl that if an ambulance went by, she stopped whatever she was doing and prayed. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. But one time, she was talking about a need she had. I said, well, have you prayed about that? And she said, I never pray for myself. I only pray for other people. And I said, Lynn, that's not right. God wants you to pray for yourself and other people. But you know what? She's not alone in that thinking. Because I can't tell you through the years of ministry how many people I've spoken to who, when I say, what can I pray for you for? They say, oh, Pastor, don't pray for me. There are other people who need it more. You know? I've literally talked to someone going into open heart surgery and had him say that sentence to me. Man, if you don't need prayer at open heart surgery, when do you need it? And I don't think we mean it in an arrogant kind of way. I think we have that, sort of this humility that is almost exaggerated humility. That well, pray for someone else, they're more important than us. But God wants us not only to pray for ourselves, He wants us to ask other people to pray for Him. The Apostle Paul did it all the time. Pray for me. And so that's what I'm doing today. I am soliciting, I'm asking you to pray, and it's appropriate that I do this because we pray about everything, right? That's one of our values. We talked about that. Kerbalsville Alliance, we pray about everything. So I want you to pray for me and the other pastors who are on this trip. And second, I want to use this opportunity to kind of encourage you to make prayer for international workers just a part of your life as a Christian. Just so you're praying for people in foreign countries and locally as well, I want to kind of tell you how to do that effectively so that you can pray for people like Eric and Vicki Bill. You know, are you praying for them? They were missionaries. They sat right here several months ago. They told us, we're going to Senegal, you know? And I want your prayer to be more than, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food and bless Eric and Vicki Bill. Amen. You understand? I want to give you some stuff to pray about for them and how to do that intelligently. I want you to pray for Joel and Sally. I want you to pray for the kindergartners when they go back to Japan. And even before they go to Japan, while they're ministering here in the States, I want you to be able to pray for them with some consistency. I want you to be able to pray for B&E. You know, I want you to pray for them when they're in Dearborn. I want you to pray for them when they're overseas. More than just, now I lay me down to sleep, God take care of B&E. Amen. You know? I want you to think of and to know how to intelligently pray about these things. And one of the reasons we do these things, when we pray for missionaries, we're actually living out the value we are bridge builders. Because if you remember when we talked several weeks ago about how we build bridges, the last couple words in the subtext of that was, to those who have not heard the good news of Christ in our community and beyond, to the uttermost parts of the earth, anywhere. And one of the ways you build bridges is to pray for those who are engaged in that kind of ministry. Now, it is perfectly appropriate that I ask you to do this because the Alliance has a long history of praying for international workers. In fact, the Alliance used to publish a book, and I've had copies of it myself. I'm sure I have some in my office. This is just a scan of a page of one, and you probably can't see this, but if when I'm looking at the top of that, I see it says Daily Prayer Calendar. And then there's a column on the left that says Overseas, Sunday. Pray for Indonesia, Irian Jaya, Japan, and the Philippines, and the radio ministry. Monday, pray for India. Pray for Trans World Radio in Sri Lanka. Pray for missionary candidates around the world. Tuesday. And so what happened, and I was talking to Vern Robinson, who's been Alliance since before there was Alliance, maybe. No, that's not true. Don't tell Vern I said he was that old. But I was talking to Vern about this past week, and he said, oh yeah, he said, my mom and my dad, I can remember them wearing the pages out, praying through that. It was part of their devotional routine to pray for missionaries with regularity. And here's what they were doing. They were doing what the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Romans. When Paul says in Romans 15:30, and I love the New Living Translation on this, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join me in my struggle. Pause. What was his struggle? He wasn't struggling with cancer. He wasn't struggling with mean teenagers. He was struggling to be an international worker and be effective at it. I urge you to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And so when those old-time Alliance people were praying through that book, they were doing exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about there. Now, I'm not going to give you a prayer manual today. I'm not going to give you a list of things, people, and ministries to pray about. You already have some of that. You have B&E. You have the Kindervaters. You have Joel and Sally. You have Eric and Vicki. You already have people in mind that you're praying for. What I want to give you today is on the sheets that you have, just some ways to pray for those people. Now I have a question. Does anybody not have that little half page with the blanks? Who needs one of those? Anybody? Okay, Deb needs one. Okay, Jim's going to bring them up through here. Jim, would you do that? And just flag him down if you need one, okay? Don't be shy about that. Is that all? Just the one? Oh, one over there? Okay, anybody else? Yeah, and one over here. Jim, you got your work cut out for you. They're all over the place. There's Wendy over there, and there's Scott here, and there's Kim, was it you, over there? Okay, great. So flag Jim down if you need one. I want you to fill in the blanks on this, and I'm hoping that you'll take it home and you'll put it on your refrigerator, because if you're like me, you spend a lot of time in front of that refrigerator. Or maybe you can put it where you do dishes, or maybe you can put it where you shave, if you still shave. Maybe you can put it, you know, wherever, just so you'll remember that list of things. And then as you're praying, to pray these kinds of things for missionaries, I want to talk to you about how to pray for international workers. I want to give you things to pray for. And if you have the sheet and you're filling it out, the very first thing on there is to pray for open doors. To pray for open doors. Now, the passage that I want to share with you, did I ask you to open your Bibles? No, good. You're good, because I have it on the screen anyway, okay? But the passage I want to share with you is kind of a key passage to this whole message, is in Colossians, and it's on the screen before you. The Apostle Paul, who is an international worker, is writing to a group of people who are just like you. They live in a town called Kermansville. I'm sorry, they live in a place called Colossae. And they're just like you. And the first thing he says to them is to devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And a phrase I want you to grab from that, or the term I want you to grab from that, is that word devote. It means to be seriously committed to something. Devote yourself to prayer, he's saying. And so it doesn't mean pray casually. It's not, now I lay me down to sleep, take care of B&E. It's to be devoted to this. Like you're devoted, like I'm devoted to Laurel. And like she's devoted to me. You know, I give my right arm for Laurel Ann Shields. I would do that because I'm devoted to her. Would I give my right arm to pray for the Apostle Paul? Well, I don't have to pray for him anymore. But people like him. And so don't miss the strength of that very word, devote, that verb, devote yourself to prayer. Because the very next thing he says after he tells them to pray is, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Okay. The Apostle Paul is in chains. He's in jail. He's in jail because he's been telling people about Jesus, and those who don't like Jesus are distressed about that. And so he's under arrest, and he's not praying that they would get him out of jail. He is praying that God would open a door for him to tell even more people about Jesus. I can't help but think that the people that wore out the pages on the Alliance Prayer Manual prayed for decades that a door would open in Russia. I can't help but think that. When I was a kid, I grew up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was the Steel Curtain. Joe Green. L.C. Greenwood. Oh, those guys were great. The Steel Curtain of the Steelers. You know that was actually named after something called the Iron Curtain. And when I grew up at that same time, there was this figurative phrase called the Iron Curtain, which spoke about the Soviet Union, Russia, getting in there. And no one could penetrate the Iron Curtain. No one could go in there. Going in there and telling people about Jesus, that was unheard of. But you may remember one time when our president stood up in front of, in Germany, and he said these words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. He was talking about the wall that divided East and West Germany, Berlin. But he was talking about something more than that. He was talking about the Iron Curtain. And Mikhail Gorbachev, strangely enough, I believe, was used of God to introduce glasnost, perestroika, policies that mean openness, that opened the curtain and allowed us to go in there. But here's what you have to understand. Open doors are not just political ones. Open doors are spiritual matters as well. And the people of Russia, people who have lived there for how long, have been learning atheism, 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 atheism. And so their hearts are closed to Christianity and the resurrection and God coming in the flesh, God existing at all. So I am asking you to pray that God would open the doors of their heart. And if He's going to do that, I'd like you to pray that we would have insight. Pray for insight, that we would be able to see what to do and to know what to do. You could go to my house in blueberry season. Josh, when's blueberry season? July. You could go to my house in July, You can go into my backyard and you can pick blueberries to your heart's content. You have my permission to do that. But let me tell you something about my backyard. There are no blueberries there. There's no blueberry bushes in my backyard. And so I would be sending you on a fool's errand to send you to pick there. And that is the way it is with Christianity as well. You can go places and bang your head against the wall and nothing happens because God wants you another place. And so I'm asking you to pray that we would have insight and that God would do the kind of thing he did in Acts chapter 16 for Paul and his companions. Because it says in Acts 16:6 that they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, but they were kept by the Holy Spirit from going into the province of Asia. God led them. He directed them. I am asking you, Kerwinsville Alliance, to pray for the four of us pastors who are going there, that we would have insight into what would be effective and where would be effective. When you're praying for these open doors, pray as well for connections, that we would be able to connect with people who are there. Man, I thought about, it's just crazy, but I thought about buying an Evgeny Malkin jersey, because Evgeny is from Russia. And I'm a Penguins fan, but I'm a Sidney Crosby fan at heart, you know? But I thought about, I could buy one of those jerseys. It's too late. I'd have to pay several hundred dollars. I can't buy the import ones at this late date. But I would do anything for a connection with people. You follow that? But I can buy jerseys. I could get hats. I could learn to sing and dance. What is that Russian thing that they do that? You know, they squat down. I couldn't do that. Never mind. I could do whatever I want. But really, God is the one who makes the connections. And he makes them in crazy ways. The Apostle Paul was able to connect with the whole palace guard. The very people that were guarding him, keeping him from escaping, learned about Jesus because he was able to connect with them. I'm asking you to pray for us that we'll be able to connect that way. I would also ask, in this area of open doors, that you would pray that God would open the doors before we arrive. That he would be laying groundwork, that he would be causing events to happen and the people to get input so that they would be kind of like the Bereans or the Bereans, however you want to say that. They were more noble, the scripture says, than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness. Wow. That's what I would love to see. Wouldn't you love to see that? You go tell someone about Jesus and they say, Jesus, tell me more, tell me more. I'm asking you to pray that God will open their hearts in that very manner. I have seven things I want you to pray for. That's the first. Here's letter B. I'd like you to pray that we will be fearless, that we will be brave. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He's an international worker, and he says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will, and then here's the word, fearlessly. Make known the mystery of the gospel. That was pretty important to him, to be fearless. And I can understand why he would need prayer for that, because he's facing the potential of death. He's already faced beatings, prison, yeah, he's familiar with that, but he could die. I've never faced that. You've never faced that. And yet, who among us has not wimped out on talking about Jesus when we felt like the Spirit of God would have us do so? Wow. Pray that that doesn't happen to us. Pray that we will be brave. Pray that we will not be embarrassed. Pray that we will not be discouraged. Pray that we will communicate without compromise. Pray that we will communicate clearly. And the enemy would have no place in our ministry. Okay? Here's letter C. Pray that God's word would spread like wildfire. That it would spread like wildfire. And all of these are common sense. All of these are biblical. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica again, and he says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. And so if that's going to happen, we're going to need to pray that the men who are going would have strength and stamina as we encounter antagonistic spiritual forces. You think Satan wants us to go over there and encourage the believers that are there? No. Do you think Satan wants us to go over there and see people come to faith in Christ? No. Do you think Satan wants us to go over there at all? No. You know, and I know, what Paul said when he said, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. He says, our struggle is against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That means demonic forces. So I'd like you to pray that as we encounter them, we would have strength and stamina. And that's biblical as well, because at the end of that passage in Ephesians, he says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always be praying for the saints. So pray along those lines, that Satan would not be able to discredit us, that he would not be able to do anything. And pray as well that the people would be able to resist Satan's lies. You know, he would keep the word from spreading if he could convince the people that it wasn't true. That's what the enemy would do. So pray that they themselves would have discernment, spiritual discernment, to know what the truth is. Letter D. Pray for protection. Pray for protection. Pray that we don't get sick. Okay? You know, when I was in Ecuador, and I was there with Perry and Sue and some other people, they told us don't drink the water. And one morning I got up, take my shower, and I did what I always do in the shower. I made a big smile to the shower head, and I let it floss my teeth as best it could. And then I spit that back out, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. I didn't get sick. I don't know why, but I didn't. Well, maybe it was prayer, right? But I didn't get sick. Pray that we don't get sick. Pray that we will be kept safe as we travel. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has a faith. You know what he's saying, right? Now, I don't think I'm going into any places of danger. I'm not really concerned by the Ukraine thing. That's a whole different country than Russia, right? We know that, right? But you know that as the United States enters itself into international questions and debate, that sometimes that makes people look unfavorably upon U.S. citizens, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if somebody said, your passport is wrinkled, go sit over there. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm asking you to pray for protection through whatever that is, okay? And do that for all international workers. Pray as well, number 5, letter E, pray for effectiveness in ministry, because, you know, we're not going there to see the sights. I'm taking my camera, don't get me wrong, you know? I've been instructed not to walk like a tourist. I don't even know what that means, you know? So I'm sure I do it. but just pray that we could see fruit, that we would see God change lives. Again, I've read you this verse before, it's been on the screen before, but here it is again. He says, pray for us, he says, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. And when I think of being honored, I think that means that people get it, and they respect it, and they respond to it. Pray for that effectiveness in ministry. When I think of effectiveness, I think that nothing hinders effectiveness more effectively than divisiveness. Now, whether it's a husband and wife that are divided, boy, effective parenting is out the window there, isn't it? Or whether it's a church family that's divided, that church, you can smell it when you walk in, can't you? That's just not going to be effective. Well, I don't know if you know this about pastors or not, but they are opinionated. You probably didn't notice that because I'm not. Oh, you should have laughed harder on that one. Have you heard me talk about the Android operating system and compare it to the iPhone? Have you heard that? Because of that, pastors can come across a little obnoxious. Did you ever watch Survivor when there was a pastor on there? He's voted off the island early on, you know? Well, I'm going with 3 other obnoxious pastors. And they're going with 1 very obnoxious pastor. And so you can imagine the personalities involved may clash. I'm asking you to pray that they don't. Or that if they do clash, that it will not hinder the effectiveness in ministry and we can resolve those collisions of personality in a godly way. Okay? Here's the next one. Letter F. Pray for God's leading. Pray for God's leading. I touched on this a little bit ago when I talked about open doors. I want to hit it a little more clearly. The Apostle Paul prays that God would show his people what he has in mind for them in Colossians 1:9. He says, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. His will. Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want you to know we have an itinerary. We have an agenda. We have plans, these 4 pastors do. We know where we're going and what we're doing. Now, have you heard this expression before? If you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Right? And really, We are more than willing to set those plans aside. We've prayed. We believe this is what God has in mind for us. But if He wants to lead us, if we've missed it along the way, pray that we would discern that. And that He would be leading us every morning. That He would put our feet one in front of the other where they need to be. And then number 7. Now some of you are excited because you think, wow, the sermon's over. Not yet. So all I'm asking is don't check out on me just because you filled in the last blank. Pray for endurance. Pray for endurance. I suffer from jet lag. Whether I travel or not, I have jet lag. When Laurel and I got to the UK, I mean, we had just stormed through out of the Heathrow Airport into the subway, all over the place. And then you had to walk from the subway place probably, you think it was a mile, Laurel. That day it was 10. That day it was 10 miles, you know? And when we got to the place, Laurel, who's very conscientious about exercise, she walks and she runs and she goes to curves and she's on our treadmill all the time. When we got to the place, I'm carrying these two heavy bags and I get them up, there were steps, there wasn't even an elevator, up the steps. I put them in a room and I look at Laurel and say, I am laying down. And I'll never forget what Laurel said to me. She said, I'm a little worried about this. I don't think you have the stamina for this because I don't do the treadmill thing, right? And I said, just give me a few hours and I'll be okay. And I was okay for that. But I got to tell you, jet lag's a real issue. Some people handle it better than others. But it's not just jet lag. We're going to be all over the place. We're going to be in Moscow, and then we're going to take the Trans-Siberian Railroad, not the orchestra, the railroad. Maybe the orchestra will be on it, I don't know, to Yalinsk, and that's a 500-mile train ride. I have noise-canceling headphones. I will be wearing them, okay? But just pray that we would all have stamina. And that's appropriate. In Colossians chapter 1, the prayer is that we would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might so we might have endurance, patience, and joyfully be serving the Lord. Ministry is a joy, but it is a labor as well. It is hard work. So pray for sleep, pray for good health, pray for emotional strength, spiritual strength. Now, I ask you to pray about these things for a couple reasons. One reason is because prayer brings results. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Listen to the New Living Translation. I love the New Living Translation because it says things in a way that really connect with me. Listen to this. He will rescue us because you are praying for us. That's an international worker talking to one of his churches. God will rescue us because you are praying for us. And as a result, many will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. Prayer brings results. This week I had to go to Punxsutawney. I had some other things going on, and I wanted to be with the family who suffered the loss this week. And so just a lot of things on my plate. And in the middle of the week, I was pooped. Can you say that from the pulpit? I was pooped, man. Not just physically. I was emotionally spent. I was spiritually depleted. I was just like, huh. And so I sent out an email, and I sent it to the elders. I sent it to some elder emerituses. What's the plural of elder emeritus? I sent it to those guys, right? And I just said, guys, pray for me. I am really whipped. And they different ones wrote back to me. And one of them wrote back this, I am praying for you right now. I am praying that the Lord will make your steps firm and that you may, and that though you may stumble and grow tired, you will not fall because you're trusting the Lord. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. The Lord upholds him with His hand. Ha. That email and the others, those were great. Let me tell you how effective the prayers were of those men for me that day. I got to the end of the day, which should have been a very exhausting day. I got to the end of that day and I said, man, I feel really good. This has been a really good day. I really feel stupid for asking the elders to pray for me because I'm great. I didn't need that prayer, I guess. I feel guilty for bothering them about that. Do you see what was wrong with my thinking? The reason I felt great is because I asked the elders to pray for me, and they prayed for me, and God made me feel great. You follow that? Prayer brings results. And that's why I'm asking for this. There's another reason I'm asking for it. And that's because you and I are partners. You and I are connected. We're buddies. I love you deeply. I think you love me. And you pray for people you love, people you partner with. But it's not just me. You're partners with Pastor Paul. and Pastor Rob, and Pastor Myron, who will be with me. But it's not just those Alliance guys that you're buddies with and pastors with. You're partners with the guy on a video who had his hat on backward this morning. By the way, I have a hat like that, and I'm going to wear it that way. Yeah, I saw it in a video. It must be real. I saw it on the internet. I know it's true. Right? Yeah. You're partners with the people from East Siberia who are going to Alaska. You're partners with them. And so I'm asking you to pray, because we're partners, right? I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for my friends. I'm asking you to pray for Joel and Sally. I'm asking you to pray for the Kindervaters. I'm asking you to pray for B&E. I'm asking you to pray for Eric and Vicky. I'm asking you to pray for international workers. I'm asking you that because of something that I've heard international workers say over and over and over again. I'll say to them something like, "We are so appreciative of the work you do on the field." This is when we're together privately. Maybe we're in a restaurant, maybe they're in my home, watching a Steeler game or something. And I'll say, "I so appreciate the work you've done in the field." And they say, not just to be polite, they say, "We could not do it without the prayers of the people in churches like yours at Kerwinsville. We couldn't do it." And then they say something unbearably sobering. They say this: "No one's wearing out an Alliance prayer manual anymore. That generation is dying off. And that prayer support, Steve, it worries me. What will happen to the future of Alliance missions without people praying for Alliance missionaries?" So I want you to pray. I gave you the names. I'm not asking you to pray for a whole manual full of people. You know missionaries. And pray for me. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you, this is funny, I said this in the first service. I said, you know what we have? I look at the literature table and there's these pictures of Alliance missionaries laying around because they go to the expense to have prayer cards made and they say to me, "Pastor Steve, how many should I leave?" And I say, "I don't know, leave this many," and they leave that many, and then I hope you'll pick them up. I encourage you to pick them up, and they lay there. They lay there. If there's a stack of pictures of missionaries laying there, no one's praying for them. You understand? And so I said to the early service, I said, "Get them out of here. Take one home and put it on your mirror. That's your task." I walk through, there's one left, it's over there. The first service beat you to them, okay? But if you want one, grab that last one. Don't run out right now. You can sneak out during the music, but grab it. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't say, "Oh, I'll just be polite and leave that for someone else." You take it. Take the last one. And the next time an international worker's here and they got pictures, take them. Put them where you'll pray for them and pray these seven things for them. Pray for us.